Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
Well, I have had a very jolly life, and my Daily Mail friend here just said, it's lucky you weren't so famous at 23, it would have been downhill all the way. So, I'm quite pleased, and I like the attention, that's the long and the short of it. I'm a real egotist, and I've hugely enjoyed my new role as a cookery lady. But in fact, I've been in food for all my life. The things that have interested me most in my life are food, writing, art, and business, and I've managed to interfere in all of them a lot. My first writing of any note was when I was a cookery writer on the Daily Mail. And I didn't do that brilliantly there because, although I did survive for 4 years, but I was the first cookery writer on their female, you know, the pull-out section, called female. And one day I wrote a recipe for Oxford marmalade. And any of you who know make marmalade will know that Oxford marmalade is the one that has a bit of black treacle in it, about 2 tablespoons to be exact, of black treacle. And I was writing by hand in those days, and I wrote 2 TBS, black treacle, and oranges and sugar, and so on. And I didn't cross the T in 2 TBS. 2 LBS is not the same thing. You wouldn't believe how many people do exactly what it says. The telephone switchboard went absolutely white hot with people ringing up saying, I've got all this goo in the pan, and now what do I do? And then one woman, sensible woman, rang up and said, I've realized there's been a mistake. How many oranges and how much sugar do I have to put in to get the proportions right? And I thought, oh, that's great. I'll just tell everybody to make a few years of marmalade at once. But we worked out she'd have to make 185 jars of marmalade. So we gave her money back, which was 17 and tuppence, which is the ingredients money. And then this was the day when the IRA was sending letter bombs, especially to newspapers. And so we had all been given training at the Daily Mail about what to do if you got a letter bomb. And it was quite specific. I remember them saying, if there's something squashy in the packet, that's probably Semtex. And if you can feel wires, that's very bad news indeed. So I had a letter bomb a couple of days after this marmalade incident. And I thought, well, I know it was wrong to get the recipe wrong, but I don't deserve a bomb. However, I did what we were told, and I rang up the post room, and along comes a copper in a flak jacket. And he delicately took my envelope away. And then we were all evacuated, and we all hung around outside for a while. And then we were told it's a false alarm and I could get my envelope back. Well, you've guessed it. What was inside the envelope was a piece of marmalade toffee, and embedded in it was a dental brace with two teeth attached and a very large orthodontist bill. Anyway, so that was my start in the writing world. You realize I'm here in order to sell you a cookbook. So I hope there are no mistakes in the cookbook. But actually, I can't sell you a cookbook because we ran out of them, I think, unless some more arrived. I know. It's not as bad. I once went to Australia on a book tour for my very first book for 3 weeks to hype this book in Australia. And there wasn't a book in the country. They just hadn't got them. So I was on a shopping channel holding one tatty old copy trying to sell books that they couldn't buy. But anyway, so it's not as bad as that. I'll forgive you, oldie, for not producing my books. I then started in the catering business. I mean, I really loved cooking, and I'd learned to cook in France, and I was very passionate about food. So I started in a little Muse cottage in Paddington. And I had a cat, and his name was Benedicat. And this cat used to sit on, this is long before the days of health and safety, you understand. The cat was allowed in the kitchen, and it sat on the windowsill and watched me cook. And it purred away, and if I was eating smoked salmon, it purred a little harder. But it never touched anything, and it used to jump from the windowsill onto the floor if it wanted to get off. So I didn't worry about it. And the other thing the cat did was it used to sometimes crawl up through my bedroom window and get lost on the roofs of Paddington and sometimes get stuck. And in those days, you could get the fire brigade to come and get the cat down. Anyhow, I used to deliver food at that stage of my life, pâtés to Ball's pubs, I remember, and meringues to Valerie Patisserie, and cakes to individual, cakes and puddings to dinner party people. And then one day I got a phone call from a man, and he said, "Do you have a cat called Benedicat?" And I said, "Oh God, I'm so sorry. Is he stuck on your roof?" And he said, "No, but his collar tag is stuck in my trifle." I've always been interested in art, particularly modern contemporary art. And when I became chairman of the Royal Society of Arts, which I was for a while, I had this brilliant opportunity to put into practice something I'd been trying to do for many years, which was to get the empty plinth in Trafalgar Square with something on it. And I got the bit between my teeth, and I formed a little committee, and it took 5 years. We had to present our plans for this rolling exhibition of contemporary art to, I think, 13 different committees. I mean, the Fine Arts Commission, the Georgian Society, the Victorian Society, I can't tell you how many people, every ministry. And I got absolutely nowhere, mainly because Norman St. John Stevens, who I'm glad to say is safely dead so I can speak evil of him. Never speak evil of the dead. Actually, that's the only time you can speak evil of the dead. He blocked me at every point. He did not want anything on that plinth because he wanted the Queen Mum and red rum, which is a very good idea. But anyway, he knew that he wouldn't get that done, and so he wasn't going to let me. But in the end, we got there. And people often say to me, "What's your proudest achievement?" And you know, I can swank about quite a few achievements. I was very proud to be Businesswoman of the Year, which I was once, and be given a CBE was fantastic, all sorts of stuff. I loved being the chairman of the School Food Trust because I thought we really did a lot of good for children's food in schools and so forth. But what I'm actually proudest of is that fourth plinth will always have contemporary sculpture. I hope it will always have contemporary sculpture on plinth. I think that's about 10 minutes. Can I just tell you one Bake Off story? Quick Bake Off story. I don't know how many of you watch Bake Off, but the last season we had a wonderful girl on the programme called Bryony. And Bryony was a very, very good baker. And she didn't get into the final, but she was fantastically good. But she was very emotional. She would cry a lot. Bryony was always bursting into tears. And so one day, Paul Hollywood can be my fellow judge, can be quite steely-eyed and tough. And he's always very fair. But he was talking to Bryony, and he was saying to her, this is all on camera, it was undercooked. I told you when we went around before, I warned you about not knowing when the cake was cooked. It needs to be in the oven longer, and it's soggy, and it's damp, and he went on and on. And I thought, well, okay, that's fine. And I could see she was welling up, and she was about to burst into tears. And I just said, "Stop, Paul, stop." And then he finally did. And then he started again, and he said it all over again. And then when they stopped filming, I said to him, "Paul, look, she's really crying now. Go and put your arm around her. Be nice to her." So he did, because he is a very nice, kind guy. So he put his arm around her, and he said, all the right things. You know, Bryony, you're such a good cook. Don't worry about it. You've got tomorrow. It's not the end of the world. It's only cake. It's only TV show. And she began to cheer up, and she started to smile. And he turned away from her, you know, patting her on the back. And as he, and then he turned away, and he suddenly turned back, and he said, "But it was shit." I wouldn't have told you that story because I would have thought it was one of the secrets of Bake Off that should never be passed on. But in fact, it ended up, you know, they do, I don't know if you, any of you watched The Extra Slice, but it, Joe Brand actually showed that clip of him doing that. Anyway, thank you for a lovely, I think that was a very good custard pie. It was delicious. So thank you for that. I'm just going to end with the things that give me most pleasure in life now. They are geriatric love and food. And this is the object of geriatric love. We got married 2.5 years ago, and we went, and before we got married, there were just four of us and two witnesses, friends of John's, and we had lunch in a pub in Edinburgh. And it was an oyster bar. And they said to me, "What do you want to eat?" And I said, "Oysters for my first course." And they said, "Second course?" I said, "Oysters for my second course and treacle tart." So I had oysters, treacle tart, and John, pretty good. Custard pie was nearly as good.
The Oldie magazine is available at all good newsagents, but you can also subscribe and book tickets for the literary lunches at theoldie.co.uk.